The reading is the beginning of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and it begins with greetings from Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. To the Church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, will you open our hearts so that we don't miss anything that you want to say to us. We open our minds and the activity of our lives so that we'll put it into practice. Amen. Well, we've just heard that reading this morning of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. And in it we hear that Paul was saying that he was called to be an apostle and that the Corinthian church was sanctified and called to be Jesus' holy people. What are you called to be? What are we called to be? Well, I want to give us a series of pictures, scenarios for us as we consider this. The first picture is of myself at the beginning of this year. In those first few days of this year, I felt really flat. I was lacking in energy, I was feeling negative, colourless, bland. I wasn't quite depressed, but I was wondering what was laying behind all of it. I've had a bad cough and cold for quite a while, and I'm hearing that some of you have got that as well. Hadn't been sleeping well, and there'd been a family upset over Christmas, and I'd been part of that. And I was certainly not my usual buoyant self. So I thought, I'll turn and look for the reading to prepare for this sermon. Distract yourself, woman. I read it, nothing was connecting. Ugh. So I committed myself to do some research. Let's see what this Corinthian church was like. So imagine with me now that first century Corinthian church. It was a church racked with divisions, full of faction. There were preaching cults where church members preferred one speaker against another. There was sexual immorality. Some members were actually visiting prostitutes. And one church member was having an affair with his stepmother. Can you imagine this church where believers didn't work out their problems? Instead, they were suing each other in secular courts. They weren't going and discussing what needed to change. There were heated debates raging on topics like Christian liberty, men and women's roles, prophecies, speaking in tongues. And to top it off, the Lord's Supper is being greatly abused. And quite a number of people didn't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And that is the picture of the church that Paul is writing to. Can you imagine how he felt putting this letter together? It's wanting to address those issues. And this was hard because it was Paul who founded the church, and it's not healthy. Paul had an affection for the church, but the church had an infection, and it was very bad reflection of what church should be like. So I thought about this church. Double. Well, I left the sermon alone for a few days, and we went away to see our daughter. And whilst I was away, I had a dream. You know how sometimes you can have a dream and you wake up and your mind is still buzzing and processing it? And that's how it was for me. It was a very real dream. And I continued thinking about it after I woke up. In my dream, I was talking to somebody about Jesus. I was trying to say how important he was. And it seemed right not to just give this person facts, you know, like he was born in a stable and then he did some stuff and he went on to do this. But it seemed important to give them pictures of how he was with different people, the personality, the character of Jesus, the difference that he made. And as I thought of that when I was awake as well, I began to get excited about my lovely Jesus. There was Peter. He was a keen follower of Jesus, but he was very impetuous, and he was often overstepping the mark, causing problems, and Jesus had to step in several times to put things right. But right at the beginning, when he first met him, Jesus said to him, "You are Simon, a pebble, but you will become Peter, a rock." And Jesus is steadfast in that belief. Peter will become someone with a strong faith that will help build the church. I was thinking about the woman at the well. Jesus treated her with such respect. He knew about her morals and how low they were. He knew how she was rejected by her country people. But he was very happy to show her that she had things to offer. He began by asking for water from her, even though it was so counterculture. But then he wasn't afraid to challenge her about some of her ideas. And when she brought the people from the village, even though they were ostracized people to a Jew, he was very happy to talk to them. He showed her that she had something to offer, someone to become. I thought about the widow of Nain. Do you remember that widow that we see following her son's coffin? When Jesus saw her, he was off somewhere else. But he stopped and he reached out to this poor woman whose future was lost. Because without men in your life, in that culture, you're nobody. But he reached out to her and he healed the dead son. And it gave life to her again, giving her security, giving her hope. I was thinking about the man who was filled with demons, who was also intrusion in Jesus' life because he was grieving. His cousin, John the Baptist, had just died. And he was really wanting some peace and quiet to mull things over. But a couple of things had happened before then, and then he saw this man who was so tormented with these demons. And he had to stop and restore him to a life of sanity and acceptance in the community. That poor man needed something better. And he went away restored in his health and testifying about Jesus' goodness. I was reflecting on these things and I began to get a picture of Jesus who put hope into people's lives. A Jesus who believed in people and wanted to bring them into a better future. I saw a Jesus who was filled with compassion, tender, caring. A Jesus who changed situations, who healed people's diseased bodies, diseased minds. I saw too a Jesus who challenged people whose lives appeared to be successful, like the young rich ruler, or the Pharisees who knew all about religious rules and expected others to keep them, even though they were breaking God's rule of love. He knew that their seemingly successful lives were empty, but could be full if they gave God a chance. I was getting very excited when I saw afresh just how lovely, how faithful Jesus is. It's not just that we should believe in Jesus. He believes in us. He believes in you. He believes in me. And so when I got back home, I looked with fresh eyes at what Paul was saying to that Corinthian church that was falling apart. And what he was saying was starting to really astound me then. He said to them, "You are sanctified in Christ Jesus." He knew their failures, but he said, "You're sanctified in Christ Jesus." And he says that to us too. I looked it up to see what this really meant. It meant set apart for special use as intended by the designer, was one definition. You, me, are set apart for a special use by the person who made us, God. The opposite of that, the opposite of being made holy, is profane. I want to be set apart and made useful. And I saw that Paul was following in the steps of Jesus. He believes in that church. He sees them already as sanctified, even though at the present time they were in a mess. And then he says they are called to be holy, his holy people. There is this sense that Paul, that Jesus, sees what we will become, even though he sees us as we are. And that is because we are in Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel that I'm not getting things right, that I don't add up, I'm not big enough. Do you feel that way sometimes? Yep, I see a few nods here. It's true, we haven't made it yet. We haven't got everything together yet. But God sees us in Christ. And in him, we do add up. We are in him if we've committed our lives to Jesus. We're complete in him because of his grace. We can be realistic about our shortcomings. We can work on those things with his help. But we're also secure in our place in him. But he's not leaving us as we are, because we're also called to be his holy people. And I liked it that it was people and not just holy person, because we're in this together. There was a fashion some years ago when Christian youngsters used to have a bracelet or band or whatever you call it, and it had letters on it. I don't know if you remember it. PB, PWM, GH, FWM, Y. Please be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. I think I ought to get one of those. So, in conclusion, I want us to leave us with two things to consider, with those things in mind. Firstly, I want us to look at this church that we come to, All Saints Horsley. How do we look at this church now and in the future? Perhaps we see some problems in the church. Perhaps we see people wanting to worship in different ways to the one that's really right, my way. Noisy, disrespectful, wearing clothes that aren't right for church. Or maybe we see it as old-fashioned and not progressing. Or perhaps we see it rejoicing that this is a church that caters for different needs, is open to different choices and worship styles, is there for different life stages. How do we see it? Do we perhaps see strong, opinionated people trying to move the church in their direction? Or maybe we see instead committed people serving the church, seeing people who will make room for others to find their place in the church. Maybe when we look at the church, we see people who have problems that take up a lot of time, are very needy. Or are we rejoicing that we're a mishmash of people and are glad that such a variety of people can find their home here at All Saints? And another thought, are we longing for the time to when we have somebody back at the helm? So we've got a rector again, someone who will replace the hole left by Robin, our previous rector. Or are we very grateful for the leadership of Robin, but are looking forward to the next person who will bring new gifts, who will challenge us with new things, who will help us grow? Are we content to wait while the process of finding the new rector takes its time and wanting to learn what we can while we wait, knowing that God will lead us into a better, stronger, more faithful church? How do we view this church? And of course, church is people. Now, let's think about ourselves as individuals. Do we share that same hope for ourselves that Paul had for the Corinthian church? That we are now in Christ, but will also become more like him. While we were away, we went to a garden centre, and I saw a sign there which just sort of rung a chord with me. It said, don't just go through life, grow through life. I leave that thought. Paul concludes in our passage that he's very thankful for that very dysfunctional church, because God had given them his grace. God's pouring out his grace upon us. Thankful that he was enriching them in every way with all kinds of speech and knowledge. God is enriching us, and I'm asking him that he will modify, change the way I speak to people, give people more time, will give me his knowledge and not just my own human knowledge. God is there enriching us with those things. Paul was thankful that God had given them spiritual gifts. Each one, each person. He has gifted you. Do you know in which ways he's gifted you? Are you stepping out and using those gifts? Because when we don't use the gifts that God's giving us, we're making a hole in the church. We need each person to take their part. and the last thing was that God will keep them till the end. Now, when I was sharing this with the 8 o'clock, which is mostly an ageing congregation, and at nearly 71 I place myself amongst those, God will keep us till the end. A lot of my life has been spent looking after old people, people who are stuck in their homes. That could be my future in a few years' time. God will keep me till the end. I need to hear that for myself. But maybe there's other situations, work situations, difficult situations that you are in. God will keep you till the end of that. Hear these words. He is giving us these things too when we're open to hearing from him. When we say, didn't know Di was going to be doing this, when we say, come Holy Spirit, I want to be a contender for these things. What an encouragement it is to that church there, the Corinthian church. They can make it. They will make it. All Saints Church, we can make it. We will make it. What we will become will be even better when we say, come Holy Spirit. And at the personal level, you and I can make it. We will make it. We can grow. Why can we do this? Because God, because Jesus believes in us and is committed to us and is pouring his life into us. Well, as I said, I shared this at the 8 o'clock service, and somebody came to me at the end and she said how she had appreciated it, that when I said that God believes in us. And she's in a difficult situation at work. And she said, it occurred to me that God doesn't just believe in me, but he believes in those difficult people that I'm feeling negative about. And God is saying, she said, God is saying to me now that I have to believe in them and stop putting the negative words and stop saying, and start saying, you can make it. So that's just a side. God loves us. He loves us so much. He's committed to us. And his Holy Spirit is at work in us. We will have those troughs like I had at the beginning of the year. But they're not the last word. God has the last word when they're open to him. Isn't Jesus just wonderful? That commitment that he's got to us. We serve a most glorious God. Let's keep our eyes on him. Amen.